This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:36 in the morning. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Shaoning. In about 30 minutes, the breakfast call happens. And on this occasion, we're going to be talking about Sabah.
Yeah, especially meaningful considering elections are on September 26th and tomorrow is also Malaysia Day. So Lin Mak is going to be speaking to Datuk Godfrey Joytol, who is the Suhakam Commissioner, and Dr. Ferdasi Sufian, who is the economist at UiTM Sabah. Now, we know Sabah is a state of contradictions, right? Because in a sense that it's very rich in natural resources, but also very poor in terms of GDP per capita. So the question, of course, we're going to ask is what measures are needed to rejuvenate the economy and ensure social protection, especially in the wake of COVID-19. So we're going to also be discussing the big picture policy as well as the bread and butter issues with this panel of experts.
But in the meantime, it's going to be about Bojo and the UK, because with the world grappling with the pandemic, any talk about the UK-EU trade negotiations, they've been put on the back burner for most of the year. But the recent decisions by the UK government to introduce a bill that is set to go against the withdrawal agreement has questioned and has put into question whether a deal can be reached by the end of the year.
Yeah, and just a few hours ago, the House of Commons voted to back the internal market bill by 340 votes to 263. But the issue is far from over, though, because MPs will be debating proposed amendments to the bill over the next week or so. And of course, the bill still needs to pass the House of Lords. So Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said that the UK is prepared to walk away without a deal if the two sides cannot agree by October 15, which is only a month away. So, you know, what's going to happen? Is UK going to have a hard Brexit?
To break down the issues for us, we speak to Michael Gezerek, Professor of Economics at the University of Sussex. Prof, thank you for joining us. Now, UK-EU trade negotiations have been thrown into turmoil over the proposed UK internal market bill that was revealed last week and just passed. What are the contentions with this bill?
So I think that the UK-EU negotiations were pretty much in turmoil anyway, but you're right that the UK internal market bill has made the situation much, much more complex and difficult. So I think there are two issues here. First of all, there is the issue of the principle about the UK legislating in order to enable itself to break international law, which is causing a lot of consternation both within the UK and amongst the UK's sort of trading partners. Because it raises a sort of fundamental issue. If in the future the UK signs some other agreement with another country, might it choose to break that agreement subsequently? So there's a very fundamental issue of principle. The second issue is that it undermines the protocol on Northern Ireland, which the EU and the UK signed as part of the withdrawal agreement. Under the peace process between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, the economy of the island of Ireland is meant to be one economy with no borders or barriers between them. So the compromise that was reached with the Northern Ireland Protocol was to introduce some form of a customs barrier between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom, which is Great Britain.
So does the internal market bill then create a hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland?
No, the internal market bill does not necessarily introduce a border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It undermines the protocol in two ways. The first way is that in order to meet its international obligations under EU law, any good that's exported from the EU, you have to submit what are called exit summary declarations. It's essentially export documentation. And in the Northern Ireland Protocol, it was essentially agreed that goods going from Northern Ireland to Great Britain would also have to submit those summary declarations. However, our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has said that he doesn't want there to be any paperwork for goods being shipped from Northern Ireland to Great Britain. So he wants unfettered access for businesses from Northern Ireland to Great Britain. And so one of the clauses in the internal market bill gives UK ministers the power to disapply the need for those exit summary declarations. And that's contrary to what has been agreed. The second issue, which I think is more important and more significant, is that clause 43 of the internal market bill gives ministers powers to make regulations to decide on how state aid law is applied. So the Northern Ireland Protocol essentially constrained the UK's ability to give state aid that might impact on trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the EU. And the UK government is very unhappy about this. And it's one of the general contentious issues in the FTA negotiations with the EU. And the UK Internal Market Bill says, we don't like this, and therefore we're going to break that part of the agreement. Or we're going to give ourselves the right to break that part of the agreement if we choose to.
So, Prof, PM Boris Johnson has said that he's prepared for a no-deal Brexit if a trade deal can't be reached by the 15th of October. What's the chances of these of the two sides reaching a deal, though, in a month's time?
Gosh, that's a very difficult question. A week ago, before all this kicked off to do with the Internal Market Bill, I would have said that a deal is still pretty likely. That, yes, there are some serious problem areas, there's some issues to be resolved, but both sides want a deal and that a deal is still pretty likely. With this Internal Market Bill, which appears to have backfired on the government, because I think they introduced this to try and put pressure, well, clearly they introduced this to try and put pressure on the EU, but the reaction has been so strong against this that I think that the likelihood of reaching a deal has got lower. I actually, my guess is that we will still get a deal, but it's very, very hard to know. And I also doubt that the 15th of October is actually the binding deadline. I think both the EU and countries generally in these negotiations often seem to be able to negotiate things in the very, very, very last minute.
But what would be the implications for the UK economy if no deal is actually achieved?
The implications for the UK economy if no trade deal is achieved are potentially quite substantial. Remember that roughly 50% of our trade, of everything that we trade, is with the EU. Now, even with a deal, the costs of that trade will rise. Without a deal, the costs rise even more. So if we don't get a deal with the EU, on goods trade, there will be tariffs. There will be much more bureaucracy of trade, and in part, for example, because of mutual recognition of standards and conformity assessment to those standards, like proving that we meet those standards. And also because of the introduction of more regulations and increased barriers to trade in services, and the UK is an important services economy. So there'll be a direct hit on trade, a direct impact on trade. And then in the much longer run, there'll be an impact as firms, both in the UK, but also from abroad, foreign companies, choose to change their investment strategies if they feel that the UK is no longer such an attractive market. It's well known, for example, that many Japanese companies, in particular in the car industries, chose to produce in the UK in order to be able to access the EU market. If there isn't a deal between the UK and the EU, one might expect that in the long run, investment in, for example, those sorts of manufacturing facilities in the UK will decline, and so there'll be a longer run impact on the UK. I mean, the government's own estimates suggest that with no deal, this could lead to a long-term decline of about 5% of UK GDP in comparison to what it would have been should we have had an agreement.
So at a time when the world is grappling with a pandemic, some are saying that a hard Brexit could actually make it easier for the UK to deal with the pandemic fallout. Do you agree with this view?
Yes, if you mean that in a political sense. So imagine that there was no COVID and that we left the EU without a deal, and it became obvious that there were economic consequences from that, negative economic consequences from that. Compare that to a situation where we leave the EU with no deal, but we've also got all the problems associated with COVID happening. Now, the impact of COVID on the UK economy is much, much greater than the impact of leaving the EU, at least in the short run. So any negative impact from leaving the EU without a deal is kind of masked by the economic consequences of COVID. So in a way, it makes it easier to hide those negative effects of leaving the EU.
That's Michael Gessi-Orak, the Professor of Economics at the University of Sussex. And I think, interesting points of view in terms of the implications to the EU as versus to the UK. I think the UK, ostensibly for the stayers, would have said that the EU would have meant more to the UK than the other way around, obviously, because it's not the biggest contributor to the economic pie. I mean, Germany is, obviously.
Yeah, but now, the professor has just revealed that the EU is 50% of UK's economy.
It is, it's always
been. Yeah, so if you don't have a trade deal up and running, what's going to be the impact on the UK economy, especially on things like services, right? Because UK is all about that. It's not only just goods, it's the freedom of movement of people, for example. You know, our companies, and I think we're already beginning to see that, shift their headquarters to Frankfurt, to Paris, instead of being in London.
Well, the freedom of movement of people was one of the objectionable points to the people who wanted to leave the union, because they thought that they perceived that their jobs were under threat because of the Polish and the other Europeans coming over the British borders to do business. But it is what it is, and of course, we wait and see with bated breath whether or not the Brexit hard or soft happens. Up next, Yap Lip Sing of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.